cliffcentral.com.
All she needed was some. Good afternoon, everybody.
Wake up.
You know it's the worst guys on a Wednesday afternoon, baby. Here we go.
Had a Clippers game on the court side. Watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5. They mad at me too, I got more five.
We're in a new dimension, baby. We're living in the future now. We're taking the world to the future. That's what I want people to know.
What do you mean we're living in the future now? We've always been living in the future.
Yeah, but the world needs to wake up. No, that's what we're here for. We're here to teach the people.
So is the future about taking my boss?
Hey, it's ours. If it's on this show, it's the worst game.
Okay.
Please welcome to the show. My name is Mark Vuli. I'm hanging out with Ria Beto Cecile as usual.
Yeah.
And we've got some mad dope guests in the building today. We're going to have a dope time as always. You know, Worst Wednesday is actually an ironic name because you know it's the best day of your week.
Someone get yourself a wacky Wednesday.
Because it's about to get crazy.
Steers,
come through for the boys on a wacky Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? We've got no waves for you, Steers. We can get your surfer boys. I know you got them surfer boys eating a wacky Wednesday. You can get them too. Anybody in the game, Steers, holla at your boys.
You can green screen us on surfboards because we don't know how to surf, but you can always green screen us.
Yeah, dog, we can stunt man up here. We live in the future, like we say. Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the show, man. It's so dope to be out here on a Wednesday afternoon. By far my favorite thing to do. So, yeah, we're going to be having a great show today. We have a rapper in the building. T-Bones talking about his life, talking about the music industry itself. You know, we always repping for the culture, no?
Always.
That's what this show has become about, you know, because people are asking us, telling us, you know, we always talking about rap. We always got rappers. Like, yeah, that's what it's about. We're holding down the culture for the Cliff Central team.
The urban hip-hop culture is the number one culture in the world.
Dog. Big time.
Who is that? I saw T-Bones actually reposting that on Facebook about the, I think it was a Swedish prince dabbing and some congregation moves. And I'm like, if the Swedish prince is dabbing, then you must know the Swedish princesses are twerking.
Exactly. So this is something that rules the world. So if you're wondering about the hip hop, it's because we love it. This is who we are. We're repping for the culture. And we hope you're into it too, man. Yeah, like I said, we have a dope guest in the studio. Say what's up, T-Bones. Let the people know what's going on.
What's your boy T-Bones, aka T-Bones, aka I throw many bones.
Yeah. Too many. He's thirsty, nigga. And also Worst Guys aficionado Luis Mzinyatsi is also in the building.
What up,
this voice before. He's been here a lot of times. We've had a lot of dope conversations with him.
Yeah, man, like Jay-Z, I'm coming out of retirement.
Okay,
Joe, to put yourself on Hova's level, you gotta be coming out with the money. Do you have a Beyonce?
Hey, you know, I'm still working on the bay. I'm still working on the bay.
We all working on the bay. There's only one Queen Bee out there, you know, and Jay-Z was lucky enough to score her, as well as getting inducted in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Actually, shout out to the boy for that shit.
Obama shot him out.
Yeah. Actually, that's another you've made it when Obese is in your corner talking business with Barack. No, but we all know Barack is a gangster, dog. Barack is just like any other black man out there, you know.
If you can inhale, exhale. You know what I'm saying? Then you're a bad boy.
If you can smoke the doobie, you know a bit about life. You know a bit about the struggle. You know about getting out as well. So shout out to Jay-Z for that. Let's go into the conversation of today, man. We have so much to talk about. T-Bone's upcoming rapper. A lot that's going on in South Africa as usual. You know, we never get a break. It's always lit. But before that, actually, my boy, how you doing?
I'm doing spectacular. This morning I woke up from a notification from FNB.
Oh, really?
you have won 534 in the Powerball draw. I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you'll be able to.
You know, bitch better have my money.
Bitch better have my snacks.
And today I'm coming for that lotto jackpot. You know, when I'm stunting in the streets in Brum, you know, buying water and juice because I don't drink. Yeah. You must know, bottles of water all around. For the whole of Great Dane and Kitcheners.
Hey, you know, as long as it's free, you niggas will take that shit.
Spilling water on everybody.
Free water.
That must be like what Cape Town feels like, you know.
Yeah, it really is. It really has to be.
They'd love it. They'd love it.
Yeah. So you also got a fresh card. I see you feeling yourself. Is this 500 rand that puts you, in a jolly mood?
No, not even that, because I haven't been paid that out yet. You know, they're so green with envy of me and winning that they're going to say, oh no, we'll only pay you in 2 days' time.
You have to chill.
But my thing is that thing that you were saying once before, that we are becoming brands ourselves, it resonated with me, and I realized I need to take a lot more care of my image and what I put into the public eye. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, a part of me is kind of like a hippie. So for the longest time, I didn't really care about like what I look like and what I'm wearing, you know. But now that I'm getting into this industry, I'm starting to realize how important your image is and how valuable it is. I mean, it's actually ridiculous. I see Oaks on TV because now that I'm acting a lot more, I'm seeing these people on TV. I'm trying to see, okay, what does it take to be this guy? Oh, Oaks are buff out here, Oaks are strong. I'm like, okay.
So and the way you almost drew me into the skinny boy swag.
Yeah. I remember because when I came back from Rose to Joburg, you were actually still buff. And then we started doing comedy together. And your friends even used to say like, hey, what is comedy doing to you, Rehab?
I was literally laughing my ass off. That's what I was doing.
Exactly. Shout out. You're being a starving artist, actually. Yeah.
But how's it in Paris?
Hey, it's nice in Paris, although the holiday's almost over, if you guys don't know. Talking about. Yeah. She's leaving soon. So I'm quite bleak. But you know, still one more week for the peps. You know, so this week I've been gymming extra hard because you know, the more pumps in the gym, the more pumps in the bedroom, you know.
Long strokes,
you know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's been dope. But yeah, other than that, the game's been tight, you know, trying to get this money. I've been talking to people from the SABC and shit. You know, one thing I'm starting to realize more and more is that nobody's gonna want what you want as much as you do.
Yeah.
Cause like I have an agent who's supposed to be out here getting this money for me. But nobody's getting this money for me. It's gonna be me and only me until the day that I die. Nobody cares.
The agent can only take you so far. The agent is like the shepherd. He can only take you to where the water is, but he can't force you to drink. It's up to you once you get there on what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
Ultimately, nobody wants to be the delivery boy. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah, everybody wants to be a star. I prefer chilling on the clouds. So, man.
What are you doing?
I'm just saying, I love your lyrics. So, can I not just put in a young plug there? Riyab is Cecilia with a track coming out soon, yo.
Hey, watch out for it.
It's in the pipeworks. Alright. No, that's cool, man. Really, really dope catching up with you. Seeing that we all out here flourishing, no?
We eating.
That's the aim of the game, flourishing. Alright, so let's get to our guest for today, T-Bones.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me about the music that you've got going on, my brother. What's the rap game like for you?
Rap game is quite good. It's quite good in the sense that you know, SA Game is putting out some really good music. People are keen to put an effort into their craft and into their videos and into the whole, you know, the whole culture itself. So I'm pretty chuffed about that. And all around good progress with a lot of the artists, and that's pretty good, man. I'm really chuffed about that. SA hip hop is stepping up.
Yeah. So you believe that you're part of the cure, because obviously for a few decades ago, hip hop in South Africa was nowhere. Like absolutely nowhere. And I found that recently there's been a spurge of artists who are taking it to the place that it needs to be. So tell me a little bit about your own style. What separates you from the rest of the game, man?
I like that you spoke about, like, you know, like the beginning of it. Of course, like 10, 15 years ago, hip hop was pretty much non-existent in SA. It was only in the underground market, and only a few cats were like, you know, I'm down to wear baggy pants and, like, you know, and do this hip hop thing, while everyone else was like, hey, Machita Nakin, like, what's going on? Like, what's going on?
You're trying to be American.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, especially growing up in Dobsonville and Soweto Extension 3, which actually a lot of people don't know about my story, is the fact that, their hip pop was not necessarily such like people used to laugh at you, man. They laugh at you for dressing the way that you dressed, wearing the island styles or the blackjacks, three quarters, or, you know, just embracing the culture. Yeah, it was whack.
What's the vibe in Dobsonville? What do they care about?
Well, I don't know now.
Oh, now you've taken over.
No, well, essentially, you know, like what I'm trying to say is, back then hip hop was not like, it was not swag. It was like, what are you doing? I'm a Guaido cat or I'm a house cat. You know what I'm trying to say? And that's what's funny enough in my dank track that you're gonna hear. Yeah. I actually addressed that. Like I addressed the Guaido cats and and how they didn't enjoy hip hop so much. You know, so it's dope to see the transition from hip hop being something that was not like appreciated and loved to actually being the wave now.
Yeah. So, that is true.
I'm glad that everyone has jumped on now.
Yeah, and that's what I like to actually find out from rappers, because Kwaito was essentially our hip hop, right?
Yeah.
In South Africa for a long time, that was the only thing that had, hip hop elements that was our own.
True.
That people, even from the Kasi, resonated with. People who are from middle class upbringings resonated. Everybody knows TKZ Shibobo.
Yeah, with Benny's verse there.
Yeah. Hey, Benny's just a superstar. Yo,
Lekker,
what a bar.
Yeah. Bars on bars, Lekker. So now we've kind of shifted to a bigger focus on hip hop. It's obviously accumulating more wealth, and it's also creating a culture in the industry.
Yeah. And actually becoming a job now. It's feeding people now.
Yeah, it's feeding people. And that's what I'm saying. I want South Africans to be making money off of hip hop.
And there's money to be made in the industry now.
A lot. So you see $5 billion worth. Apparently, $5 billion is accumulated within the entertainment or hip hop industry in SA. And I definitely want to get my slice of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We gotta be millionaires.
Definitely.
We've gotta be millionaires.
Yeah, we have to own our stuff as well. Don't forget about ownership. Ownership is very important, and that's like number one part of the of a rapper's culture, is to make sure that you own your stuff and to make sure that you push your stuff yourself and you have control of your product, because at the end of the day, it's going to be diluted by other agendas and other messages if you don't have control of it.
Do you believe in the idea of independent artistry? Are you going independent all the way, or do you see yourself signing with a label? Just in terms of
distribution
and how to get your music out there, what is the best way for you going forward?
Well, then you have to ask yourself the question of, if you say distribution, what are they distributing? Physical copies, or are they distributing the MP3s or the because then if you're saying distribution of physical copies nowadays, when was the last time any of us bought a CD?
Getting radio play, they obviously have access to these facilities because they've been in the industry for longer than just T-Bones, and the name carries a lot of weight. If you're with Mabala Noise, people already respect you as a full-blown artist, whereas opposed to being independence, you kind of have to be even better than people who are represented by major music labels.
Actually, I want to speak to that. The record labels in this country, in terms of hip hop, have not actually made a big enough imprint to say that they've been here longer than artists who have ripped the culture since the beginning. I'm privy to some information to see how record labels even distribute their copies for artists, and it's actually quite ridiculous the amount of effort they put in. So when you tell me that someone like me might not know the distribution process based on the fact that they have been longer, it's quite funny seeing the implementation of what the record labels are doing for artists now.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is ridiculous. If you saw the situation, you'd actually laugh.
Yeah. You see, this is exactly what I was talking about earlier in terms of how the other people in the industry do not contribute to your success all that much.
Make yourself.
Of course, yeah, exactly.
The people around you are almost just watching and waiting for something dope to happen.
Of course.
Bystanders.
Yeah, bystanders, really. And it's not a culture of like agents working hard for their clients, or the actual music label pushing to make the artist a star.
Sure.
You know, that doesn't really happen. You still have to be the main drive behind it. You know, I find that I think in a lot of other industries, the artists can focus more on the art. But in South Africa, especially as in the growing industry, you have to create your own wave. You have to create your own following. You have to create your own space for you to exist in.
Sure.
And that's why I do appreciate the fact that you do value independence, because that makes... It doesn't dilute your product. Dilute your product. So just speaking of your product, don't know if you wanna plug in there. So
The name of the track that you've got going on here. What is it, brother?
This is T-Bones featuring Confi, an artist that's also from Four Ways. He's someone that we've signed to the label.
Oh, okay. So y'all are North Gods.
The North Boys.
That's the funny thing. We need to correct that, man.
Wait. Tell us. How you corrected the statement?
Round one.
I want to know about.
No, well, let's start where you start off. You said North what?
North Gods. The people from Four Ways. I see.
Where you get your information from?
Okay. You don't want to be part of that.
No, I never said. I just wanted to find out where you got the information from, so we can establish what you mean by saying.
You say you're from Four Ways.
Essentially, it's just where you live.
Yeah, the north of Johannesburg.
Yeah, but like if we get down to the nitty gritty of it, North God is a sort. It's the Les's click, basically.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Is that the problem? You don't want to be associated with that as your own independent artist.
I feel like there's been some tension between the two of them.
Oh, really? All right. Here's some tea that is about to be spilled. Tell us a little bit about
tea.
That. You're spilling the tea. What's the beef, dog?
I'm joking.
Yeah.
No, man. I'm just do a little bit of research about the culture and about people who rep what it is that they rep, and then you can understand, like, you know, where the culture started and what it's about. You know, I mean, you can't go to the first person that says, you know, this is what exactly, you know, who I am, and then you believe them. You have to do your research, find out what's going on, due diligence, and then you can make a decision on, you know, what is going on. And that's what's actually important about the hip hop culture, is for you to do your research.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? You need to know what you're talking about before you're like, oh, this is what I believe. And you end up looking like a bit of a dad. You know what I'm trying to say? Because you don't know what's actually going on.
Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say? And that's what's going on in the industry as a whole.
What?
A lot of people are representing something and saying that they are what they are, and then no one has done their research, and then people go off that, and then they believe that to be the truth. Meanwhile, if you actually did your hip hop research, and then that's when you can actually tell.
Kind of like fake flexing. Is that what's going on?
Hey, man, people say what they say. I mean, like, right now, there's artists who have released a track called Four Ways. None of them even live in Four Ways.
Yeah.
So can we? Like,
oh, so you're saying people are using that as a standard or a bar?
No, I'm not saying.
Tell me what your research has led you to. What is the truth for you then that you see is in terms of this whole ideology of the history of our South African?
Let me go to New York and be like, yo, I got this, and then like name a track, T-Bones, New York. And then I release it out there, and guess what New York cats will say to me? And what would New York be like? Like New York cats will be like to me?
No, they'd clap back, actually.
They'd be like, where is this cat from? Who, I mean, is this dude from Africa? He's out there in New York. He don't even live in New York, don't even live in Queens. You know what I'm trying to say? He's ripping Queens. What's going on? You know what I mean? And then that becomes a problem. Obviously, if you know the hip hop culture, then you'll understand why people are being that way and why they're asking those questions. You're ripping a hood that you ain't from. You're ripping a culture that you don't understand. Why are you doing that?
And at the start of the interview, you immediately ripped Dobsonville, Soweto.
Well, I said that, yeah, that's where I'm from.
You reside in Four Ways now.
Man, that's where the culture was understood. That's where I was appreciated. That's where I was accepted and taken in for wearing 3/4 GM pants and like island style sneakers and wearing my fitteds and stuff like that. So yeah, man, that's where the culture was for me.
Okay, what do you think it is about that area that accepts you as an artist as opposed to being a Brahm screw boy? Because maybe those are the guys you don't want to be hanging around.
I believe the term was Brahm kids.
Brahm kids, the guy with blue hair, the screw screw boys, the guys who say cover the bears and sell the bonds.
Oh my gosh,
it's those people. So I'm telling you, what's the difference about where you are now?
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, hip hop culture was not an accepted thing back then, and especially in like Soweto, especially in like town, it was underground cats. There was a few small cats who,
but they were in the burbs. Is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily. It was just a small minority. Hip hop was not recognized as something that you could be living or doing. It was weird.
Yeah.
Whereas it was more weird. Accepted.
You know what I'm trying to say? So now this side, you know, people who, you know, maybe, I don't know, if I don't want to, you know, sound whack or anything like that. Maybe who've traveled or who, you know, embraced
who
world
have
culture.
More worldly experiences.
Yes, exactly. Will then understand, oh, shucks, I can see what this guy's wearing. It's an NY fitted cap. Oh, I can understand. This is the style. Whereas when I'm in the hood, I'm wearing fitted caps and I'm wearing baggy pants. People are like, hey,
to them, it looks like you're trying to be something that you're not.
Trying to say. They're like, hey, these cats, what's wrong? You don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? So they're like, no, I'll just keep doing my thing until it gets recognized. And that's what I keep doing. And funny enough,
Your individuality.
Yeah, it still happens to this day, man. Like, I'll walk into somewhere or a place or a mall, and people will see me the way I'm dressed, and I'm dressed hip hop. every day. I live it. I breathe it. You understand what I'm trying to say? And then when they see me, it's like they look at me weird and like, hey, this cat is looking like he's going to do something to me, or I don't know, or he smells like some dank. Or what's going on? You know what I'm trying to say? And I get judged for that. But now, hey, man, that's part of the culture. You have to rip it, and, you know.
Can I actually touch on that point?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There was some, you know, cultural appropriation that happened at work.
Oh, wow. What
Dude,
happened?
I'm helping Ralph Price, all right? He's this producer. He used to be part of a Slum Village as well.
Okay.
And his homeboy that were actually touring in South Africa. And obviously, his boys are all dressed in, you know, tracksuit pants and hoodies and all of that. Like they dressed as normal guys, part of the hip-hop culture, right? Mm. And a couple of them are standing outside, the two of them are inside the store, and I'm helping them. And next thing, my manager comes up to me after helping them, and she's on some, yo, who are those guys? A couple of gangsters standing outside. I thought we were about to get hit. And I'm like, what? Like that?
That's so
deep. I can't even imagine, bro. Why would this lady even say this now?
Because you dressed hip-hop, man, and then they think that, you know, hip-hop culture is actually, you know, something, like, they don't understand it.
Yeah.
And now we have all the people jumping on the wave now.
people are jumping on the wave. And that's the thing that I found is that there are a lot of rappers now.
I think they've always been there.
Yeah.
It's just a thing of them being in hibernation and being scared to come out. Yeah. A lot of the I understand why you'd be against that opinion, but at the same time, realize that not everybody's been brave and bold enough to come out. You know, it's almost like being gay.
Now being a rapper is like being gay.
That's actually so interesting.
Yeah, because in society, you don't want to be like, what do you do?
I'm a rapper.
Yeah. Well, I'm not ready to divulge that information.
that's so true.
Then you get judged hard. But that's why I like to say, like, because I'm a whole lot of shit, so I like to say a comedian, because it's funny, it's like being a comedian is like there's the idea of respect behind that, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's something that we lack, is an understanding of different cultures in our own country.
Yeah.
You know, we don't understand how much work it actually takes to be a fucking rapper.
Yeah.
Like people
to get where you are.
Yeah.
Or even where you're going.
To be successful in a highly saturated market is way more valuable than being successful in an unsaturated market, because it actually means that you belong there.
Yeah.
And you had to go through so much to get to that place because it's saturated, obviously. But anyway, let's hear what it's all about, my brother. Let's hear this track for Ways.
Let's play.
Away. Just pump the volume up.
Yeah.
She my bad girl. As long as smoke my day. Drink my drink. Have my bad. Give me her. She my bad girl.
Spice in that track, right? That's dank.
Fire.
That's Morris. Dank by T-Bone featuring Coffee.
I heard you got that water.
Yeah. Well, obviously we have to talk about that line about Dalez and your vest. So there's a real tension here. That's what I was trying to get to. All right, what's the actual beef? What are they representing that you feel is not what you guys are representing, or what hip hop should be representing?
Alright, man, there's a whole culture of people that live in the Foys area who have been kind of the front runners of the whole hip-hop culture, from fashion to freestyles to battles to even the shorties out there, you know what I'm trying to say? So
yeah,
we were the ones who were in the front there, you know, like ripping the culture. And when everyone was judging us and like, yo, you cats and your whack ass, you know, gear and this and that, and you being from the north and you speaking the way that you do and you being a skater, you know what I mean? Like, people used to judge us for that, you know what I'm trying to say? So, you know, the front runners of that have not gotten any credit, any due, any whatsoever, for being the forefront of that culture and cultivating it and keeping it alive and pushing it, and especially the jargon, you know what I'm trying to say? You know, like us as the homies, we're chilling in the corner in the park or whatever it is, we've got our own jargon, how we talk and how we live and how we speak, and all of a sudden that spreads and permeates the whole of Joburg, and then all of a sudden it's some human calling himself a god.
Come on,
G,
come on. Yeah. All right, I get what you're saying. So there's people who've been overlooked No, are you, do you consider do you consider yourself one of the front runners in terms of the ideologies?
No, I want us to stick to exactly what it is that I'm saying. I don't want it to be something else, and you know, to make it seem like, as I said, there are people who are on the forefront of the culture, who have cultivated it, created it, raped it, lived it. And all of a sudden, there's some other people who don't even live there, who weren't even a part of it. All of a sudden,
snatch the game right quick.
Not snatch. Just name yourself a name that you're not. Anyone can do that. Anyone in Joburg can run around and say, "Yo, I'm a Ngakaro, I'm a God, or I'm a what? You know what I'm trying to say? You know. But at the end of the day, it's about the truth of it and the actual fact of what's actually happening. You know what I mean? So, I'm just here speaking my, you know, talking my talk. You know, talking my shit. Essentially, at the end of the day, telling the truth of what my circumstance and what I'm rapping at the end of the day, you know.
So,
what I mean?
So basically, you don't want anyone to be fronting.
That's hip hop, man.
Yeah.
You want me to come here and tell you that I'm balling, and then I come in like, you know, what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, no, forget about that.
What do you mean? Yeah.
For me, what's stuck out for me is something that I face as well. Is the difference between audiences in South Africa. Right. South Africa is also very multicultural and very diverse. And there's a lot of different ideas about what hip hop is or what it should be. And do you find it difficult to relate to various crowds in South Africa? Because I'll say it for me, it's easier to relate to people from Foys. You know, when I go out on stage in Foys, that's where I feel most at home.
Yeah.
As opposed to when I go out in Kitcheners, because we have the same kind of upbringing, the same kind of understanding of what comedy is and what humor is. We have a similar style of humor. And it's different when I go to a place like Kitcheners to perform there. I almost have to curate my material around that, as opposed to being completely free in who I am and what I'm actually trying to say with this performance.
Yeah.
So do you find that the mix of cultures in South Africa makes it difficult to be a performer?
Yeah, I agree and disagree at the same time, because hip hop is hip hop. There are slight variations of it, but at the end of the day, I know what hip hop is and I can see it from a mile away. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. And then I also hear you also at the same time with regards to tailoring your work, because at the end of, in South Africa as a whole, should I say, I don't know about Africa, but South Africa, the hip hop culture kind of started in the underground market. So the people who appreciated hip hop and that lived hip hop were underground cats. People listen to like Dead Prez, De La Soul, Dilated Peoples, KRS-One, you know what I'm trying to say, like those kind of people. And then you had people like me who, funny enough, enjoyed the South. You know what I'm trying to say? I enjoyed the South hella. The 808 was like, you know, was dope for me. The stuff that they spoke about, the slang, how they did it, how they danced, how they enjoyed the music. And then you try and perform South music or play South music for cats or for people in SA before a certain time, and they didn't understand it. They were like, nah, these people aren't saying anything. They're busy, you know, talking smack and whatever. And there, you know, me and my homies were enjoying A-Town stomping, you know what I mean? You know, crib walking, you know, and they didn't understand it. And that's what I love about situations now, is that, you know, people are more open-minded. So that's why I agree and disagree with you, you know.
Yeah. All right, cool. And just going back to the topic that we touched on a little bit earlier about hard copy sales and the internet. Yeah. What's your experience been like in terms of the traction that you create? Do you create most of your traction online?
Yeah, I actually want to speak about that. You know, right now, the culture, well, the urban culture as a whole right now, I would want to say that we're in a fourth industrial revolution, in that an artist now does not, you can't just expect a label to do everything for you and then you think you're going to pop, or you think you've got dope bars and you think you're going to pop. There's so much more to it. There's almost like, I don't know the exact numbers, but I would say there's about 7 pillars that you have to keep hot, or you have to keep alive, or you have to keep moving at all junctures. So you need to know how to make your own videos, or you need to know how to organize your own videos or shoot your own videos, because at the end of the day, if you don't have budget, what are you going to do? You need to know how to get your stuff mixed and mastered. You need to know how to do your PR. You need to know, like, there's so much to it at the end of the day. So being a rapper is like doing so many things. So the fourth industrial revolution speaks to an artist doing almost like 7 jobs. And that's what it's like now. So even like maybe in the next 5 or 10 years, in other industries like accountants and so forth, their jobs are going to be obsolete, because, you know, technology, computers, and artificial intelligence and so forth, you know what I mean? That's where we're going right now. So artists right now need to understand that you don't just need only dope bars or you know, nice melodies, or, you know, there's so much more to it. There's 7, if not 7 more jobs, and it's going to keep getting more and more and
you
more.
You need to know every aspect of the business.
You need to be everything. It's like running your own business.
Exactly. It's called the music business.
And
that's how you become a mogul. That's how you become your Jay-Z, you know. That's how you become your Lil Wayne and Birdman, and
you
so
do
on
more
and so
than
forth.
Just rap.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
And I guess that's why it's important to be independent then,
yeah, of course,
so you can learn all
of course so that you learn each part of the business 100% and you know how to function it and not leave it to someone else to do it for you, and when it's time to do it and then you don't know how to, you know, then you're like, yo, I'm, everything is dope, but there's something that's lacking, you know?
Otherwise, you end up like Rihanna with her accountant, you know? And there's troubles.
But eventually you get to the place where some of the smaller jobs, you know, they'll start to take care of themselves. And I think maybe in the biggest sense of the artist or the entertainment industry, I think you get things done for you more once you've elevated to a higher place. It's very hard for outside infrastructures to trust young artists, but once you've become that thing,
a household name,
names, brands are willing to work with you, PR is willing to do things for you, you know what I'm saying? So there's kind of always, you know, they say that after a while, after about 3 years or so, business kind of runs itself. You know, you don't have to be doing all the accounting, the nitty-gritty stuff all the time.
And in that, it allows the and enables the artist to focus on the craft.
But it, you see, what it feels like to me is that now you have to work so hard on getting the infrastructure right in the beginning that it kind of dilutes from the art until you get to a point where you can be at your peak. And then Rihanna's the best example for me. Then she dropped something like Auntie, which is her most artistically true album so far, I feel. So before that, she was playing the game for a long time. Look at the way she dressed in the Ponder Replay music video compared to what she's doing
now. It was
now.
It was what was happening at that time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I also definitely think that she was playing the game. You know, she was trying to get noticed. She was trying to assimilate to the culture, you know, like Jay-Z, he even said it in the song. He's like, first you come in the game, they try play you. I forgot which track it is. And then obviously once you've become that name and you've got a sense of power yourself, because now you don't need them and they know you don't need them.
It's that market penetration.
So that's what I'm saying. Getting to that true artistry, doing the actual art as the focus of who you are, as opposed to all the around, the sideshows. That's, I think, where you get the sweetest juice, you know, of artistry. And you can see it in many artists. I think Childish Gambino is also a perfect example, you know, writing for 30 Rock, whatever, which is dope. He did well on that. But then he gets to a point where he can release something like Atlanta, which is really alternative and really childish. You know, it's really Childish Gambino. If you didn't know who Childish Gambino was, that show would not be dope for you. But you have to have known that he's a rapper. You have to have known that he wrote for 30 Rock, you know. You have to have known these things before he gets to, you know, that artistry peak.
Yeah, and even acting as well and so forth. So
yeah, exactly. So it's an artist-wide thing. And this is what I've had this chat with these guys before in studio about, you know, an artistic masterpiece.
Do you
believe in that artistic masterpiece that somebody's always going to be remembered for? Because we have a little debate that, you know, even if you release something great, you always have the potential to release something greater. But I also think that you always get, you know, your Usher's confessions. That's what I like to call it. Usher's confessions. No matter what, Usher will always be made from that album. Do you get what I'm saying? So do you feel that way as well? Or is it just, I'm going to be, every album of mine is going to be amazing and every album is going to be better than the last? What is your ideology in terms of the direction of your career and will the lasting impression it will leave here?
I'm going to try to answer this question in two parts, because there's some interesting things that have just transpired yesterday. With, I don't know if you guys have heard, Prodigy from Mobb Deep.
Passed away, R.I.P.
Okay, yeah, rest in peace to Prodigy. That guy for me is someone that embodied hip hop to the core, looked it, smelled like it, spat it, you know what I'm trying to say. And he even had one of the, or some of the most iconic tracks in hip hop history from inception. You know what I'm trying to say? Like Shook Ones, if we had to play that track right now, you would understand and feel and smell and believe what hip-hop was, you know. And he never had commercial success after a certain point, and we can argue that and discuss it all day, but at the end of the day, he was the prime candidate for one of hip-hop's titans or generals, or, you know, so to say. So it's quite weird, or you know, to try and mitigate if someone is successful via sales or is actually successful with impact of the culture and what he's done for the culture. And that's actually where I find myself a lot of, is that, you know, we embody the culture, we smell it, we look like it, we live it every day, even when it's not cool to be it. And then when it's, you know, all fresh and roses, that no, it's the swag now, we don't get any of that. It's just like, you know. Yeah. So and then with regards to me, quality is number one for me, actually. So I'm just trying to work so that I can produce enough quality that I can, you know, provide for my clientele. If it's not quality, I'm not involved. I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah. So quality over quantity.
Yeah. Quality is most important for me. So even if I take a year, 2 years to make a quality track, I'd rather do that. It's going to play on radio. It's going to go out. It's going to touch the market, as opposed to people who are releasing tracks monthly, 2 weeks. Yeah. These tracks, I mean, people don't even care about their single covers. People, I mean, it's like, geez, bro, it's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, these are the boys that we're talking about. Like, people are just coming out and just releasing music for the sake of releasing music. Yeah. I think a lot of the big part of artistry is that you're trying to, you know, create something.
You're just riding a wave, bro. Yeah. Swag to do something, so let me do.
As opposed to
actually just taking time and actually like perfecting your craft, you know? I'm not going to just go into a gym now randomly. I haven't been training. Now all of a sudden, I want to bench everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do things properly. There's a procedure.
See, now you talk to my lifestyle.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, quality is number one for me. And as I said, I'm not involved. It's no quality.
No, I 100% agree with that. You know, it's just the reason why I was bringing that up is the idea of what you're doing with your art. I think a lot of the time people get that confused. And it's not that you need to make music. You need to want to make music.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's the big difference, is that I'm trying to create something, you know, magical, something that the world has never seen before, so that when I'm gone, people were like,
yeah, of course,
remember that shit, that was incredible.
Funny enough, that's actually also one of my, you know, things as a human being, is that, you know, like, once we're done here, what you know,
what then,
you know, I'm trying to say, how do we show that we had an impact on the world? And, you know, nowadays people are like, you must get your degree, or you must do this, or, you know, it's all like Western, and it's like, okay, cool, no doubt, you do that method, and then I'm gonna, you know, do my, you know, my way. And I want to create art. It's art at the end of the day, and I take it very seriously, and I take my culture very seriously, which is the hip-hop subculture, which has nurtured me, kept me going, you know, through the best of times and through the worst, you know, the worst of times. So yeah. I take the art very, very seriously.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because we're about to play another track of yours, but before that, I want to ask, in terms of taking your art very seriously, because we are seeing a resurgence, or a resurgence rather, of people doing it for the money, doing it for the show, doing it for the Moe bottles. And I've always felt that, you know, your art should be something that you're willing to die for.
Yeah.
Something that it's bigger than you. To a large extent, you know, it's not about you. So you can create something and not be appreciated in your time as an artist. As you know, there's many painters who've painted great paintings and only realized once they've died and they didn't even know how successful their work was. And
Machiavelli was also one of those.
Yeah. And I'm saying that is the essential thing that is missing, or that you need to have, is that it's really not about you. You're creating something and you're gonna leave it there. And I think that's the true mark of genius, is knowing that people are going to catch on to this, whether I'm alive or not. Because this is the thing. Why would you not? Do you know what I'm saying?
I like that. Dank, the track that we just played earlier, I made that track about three years ago, I think it was. Most of my tracks are a little bit dated, and what's dope about it is they still fly now, or you'll find that the trend or the wave is actually just happening now, but we were on it like 3-4 years back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? So
it's future.
It's lasting.
Lasting good music, of course. I agree with that. And that's what's actually so weird about my stuff, is that some of my tracks are like old tracks, but they fly now, or they do well. People are like, what, you know, like what's happening, you know? And that's what's nice about quality art, is that dribble, as you said, dribble, it lasts. It's timeless.
For sure. All right, now with that being said, let's see, let's play your latest track that you haven't released this yet. This is a special here that's going on.
I distribute all my music online. So Tidal, iTunes, Spotify, worldwide. So not only South Africa, but anywhere in the world. world, if you want to hear a T-Bones track or a North Boy sample of culture, you can just go into any digital platform worldwide, literally anywhere.
Yeah.
And you can get that. I'm very proud of the fact that as an artist, I know how to distribute, put together all my products. So it's very important for all the artists that are coming up next to find out, do your due diligence or research on how to distribute and own your product.
Yeah.
So this is a track that we put out. It's called T-Bones featuring Confi Motivation. It's another single that we're just putting out there, waiting for, you know, there's one more track I'm going to play for you just now. So yeah, this is just something that they can just sink their teeth into, get the visuals, see what we're about and where we're from and, you know, how we do our thing until the point in time where we get the stage that we want and we can definitely, you know, impact the culture even harder than what we have been doing so far.
Yeah. Just be undeniable. That's what we're saying. Like, that's how you get it. Become undeniable, baby. Here we go.
Swagger is really a must, is really upset. We really be shining so hard, man. We party all night, roll me a fatty, I'm smoking all night. Serena on the flight, the fritz is amazing. T-Bone's amazing, my she amazing. This human is blazing, they're talking about me and I'm gone in LA.
Yeah, 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 that's motivation. You just get a little taste. You get a little taste of the sweet juice that is.
Eyes hazed, all Asian.
Hey, man, we've been Asians, actually. We'd fit in perfectly in China, other than our skin. But we just have to get into a washing machine. I don't know if you've seen those racist Chinese adverts.
Hey, let's not even touch on that.
You go into a washing machine, black, and you come out Chinese, my boy.
All this time we've just been dirty. I thought it was just
I thought this is how we come, but apparently we're actually dirty.
Even
guys.
My own kind, Simpi, was busy saying that I'm dirty, and now she says today I look clean. I'm like, what's that supposed to mean?
All right. So you got one more track for us, right?
Right now.
Let's hear. What is this one?
It's called Pull Up. It's T-Bones. It's a new track that's coming with some heat.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Some big, big, big heat. So
this is the one.
This is the one.
Pull Ups. Let's go in on this one, yo.
Cold outside and you're far from me, you know that. And you're looking for the call. Can I pull up?
Can I pull up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's pull up by the boy T-Bones.
Can I pull up?
Hey, I want to pull up. I won't be pulling up for much longer. Hey, I don't know what's going to happen. One more week, baby. Yeah. All right, cool. So, yeah, we have to wrap up the show, man. It's been so dope hanging out and chatting with you, man. We didn't even have to go into the news because this conversation was so enlightening, man. So, tell the people where they can catch you, where they can find your music, etc.
Yeah, as I said, it's your boy T-Bones, a.k.a. T-Buzzer, a.k.a. Many, Many Bones. Find me out on Instagram. It's T_BONES. Much, much life there on Instagram. And, Twitter, a.k.a. T_BONES, Facebook T-Bones or Tabo Migello. You can find me out there on all social media. Please purchase our tracks out there on all platforms, which is iTunes, Tidal, Spotify, worldwide, wherever you are. Even in Zanin, you can even get the tracks.
Even in Limpopo, yo, you can have access. Imagine. Yeah. I didn't know they have internet in Limpopo.
Very fast Wi-Fi.
Nah, no, dope, man. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you, man.
It's such a pleasure too, man. Thank you guys for having me here. I always had so much fun and discussing hip hop culture as a whole. Thank you, man.
Cool. So as usual, you know we're gonna wrap up with the worst guy, Cypher.
Yeah.
Got a dope instrumental here, man. It's been the dopest Wednesday as always. We do the worst way. The worst guys. Here we go. Whoa. I just found this. I'm like, yo, imagine us going on this one, dog.
Hey, you love Rihanna.
Dog, she's my girl. She's bae. Anybody who knows who Rihanna knows.
Let's have a conversation.
Now
you're saying that Rihanna is your girl, but why is she living up in my world? Woo. Why is she living up in my house? And why is she acting like you is a mouse? What's that about? What's that a bark? Milk and Julie, what you trying to spark? You trying to spark a fight with me? I got the muscle, R-E-H-A-V.
Oh, you trying to make me like Breezy, like I should lose Rihanna easy. Nah, dog, I'm a chilled ass dude, and I don't give a fuck about you. Cause I know Riri wants to be with me, cause I'm the
best MC. I'm Malcolm Dooley and she knows she gotta shine. We go to the restaurants, we wanna dine, and I know I call her all the time, but either way she's gonna come, cause she's so sublime. And I'm so on the grind with my D, and she knows she wants me, but let me proceed.
Hey, you can have her on a Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, but on a Thursday and Friday and Saturday, Sunday, I'ma be banging in the whole day. Hey, hey, what you gonna say when you get to her and Mbobo Ingaganani? Everybody say, oh, Malcolm Dooley, you acting oh so funny. On the pocket stage, man, you brave, doing it all kinds of ways on Saturday. Hey, maybe you just stick to comedy and leave Riri to come my way.
Oh, so you wanna take her on the weekend, yo? But I'm telling you, that's not my flow. She gonna be out there at my show, laughing at my jokes, telling all these oaks that there's this other nigga rehab who wants her and he's in the DMs. But I say I'm in the bed sheets, and you know I always keep it so neat. Oh, we gotta go now. Palessa is chasing us out of the studio now, but it's been so dope. We in the crowd and we all so loud. It's been dope, yo. We out, man. We out. That's the worst guy cipher. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, wake up. We out. CliffCentral.com.